I'm going to talk some about where we've been and what we've seen God doing in and through Christ Church. So we'll start with some of where we've been. I'm going to ask Paul Schultz, our treasurer, to give a brief financial update, give you all an update about that. And then we'll get to hear from our staff. Joshua, our worship arts director and youth pastor, will share what's going on in those ministries. And then Julia, our director of children's ministry. So we'll get to hear from everybody. Then we'll do our leadership team selection, and I'll explain a little bit more about that when we get there. And then finally, the way we'll conclude is I'll come back up and speak a little bit more about what we sense God directing us to and calling us towards for the future as we move forward together. So that'll be the flow of tonight. We said it would be 6 to 8, but I am sure we will be done before then. I am not going to talk that long, but let's pray and begin. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that you would be in our midst tonight, that you would continue to unite us and excite us about the ministry you've called us to do here at Christ Church and in the community around us. So, Lord, we ask now that you would guide us and direct us and give us vision and excitement for the future that you're calling us to walk in. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, wow. It has been a year of transitions. And honestly, I'm kind of tired of saying that. If you've been around, we've been through more than our fair share of transitions in this congregation and in this church. But God has been faithfully guiding the leadership of Christ Church, and we are seeing some fantastic changes taking place. So what I want to do is, there were some very telling and very interesting numbers that came out of church just a couple weeks ago. And so I just want to list for you, give you some excitement, because this is actually representative of what we've been seeing in the last season here at Christ Church. So this isn't about yesterday, because I didn't have time to do that. It's from the week before. But I wanted to just give you some exciting statistics, some exciting numbers. So last Sunday, we had 123 people in attendance for worship. To put that in perspective, that's back up to the average 2 years ago. In the midst of all this transition, we're actually now starting to see regularly numbers about where we were before all this transition started to take place. I also want to point out, a very helpful thing that I've seen as we've analyzed some of the numbers, I just want to point out, there's no criticism here, it's just the reality. 2 years ago, a full 20% of our average Sunday attendance was staff members and their families. 20% of the people in church on Sundays were staff members or immediate family members of those staff members. That is incredibly high. Now, we have a very different staff, a sustainable staff, an excited staff, a staff I am thrilled to be a part of. Now, if you look at the numbers of people, we're still down slightly from those numbers 2 years ago, but if you compare apples to apples in the number of staff, we're down by less than the number of staff and immediate family members that aren't on staff anymore. And so another way to think of it is all the people in church that are coming to church and that are involved that aren't in a staff member's family has gone up since then. Also a couple weeks ago, and again, this is becoming much more standard, we had 11 children in the elementary Sunday school class. 8 months ago, that class was zero. That's a big difference. 9 or 10 of it wasn't always zero. Sometimes it was zero. Sometimes it was 1 or 2. 9 or 10 of those 11 in that specific week are new within the last 6 months and are now regular attenders or committed members. And this past week, I believe we had 12 in that class. That same Sunday in church, in the congregation, we had 11 middle and high schoolers in the service for Sunday worship that week. We have never had 11 youth in church on Sunday since I've been here, ever. I don't think we'd ever had more than 5 or 6 at the most. Here's another big one for me. I counted after the service, I went through actual people that I know were there that day. I counted 54 people in church that Sunday who are newer than I am. Out of 123, 54 of them are newer than I am. And I want you to let this number sink in. 46 of them are new in this calendar year. A third of our Sunday attendance that week is new in 2017. And that is just absolutely staggering. And it's exciting to be a part of a church where that's what's happening. People are coming and getting excited and hearing their stories of what God's doing in their lives. This year, in two separate occasions, I guess 2 weeks ago, earlier in the year, I believe it was April, we welcomed 27 new committed members, people that formally joined this congregation. Since the year of our founding, we have never welcomed more than that in a single year. Again, it's just exciting to see what God is doing and the way this is happening. It's really exciting to be a part of this new move of what God's doing here. And some of these new members, those that just recently joined, said things like this, and these are all quotes that they provided. "For me, Christ Church is a place of healing. Jesus continues to amaze me. For me, Christ Church is family. I really enjoy being here. I feel a genuine connection with Jesus' followers. Everyone has been accepting and embracing and has truly blessed us and shown us that Jesus is here and Jesus wants us here. Christ Church is a home for my heart. Jesus has given me back my love. I met a Christ Church member at the doctor's office and she invited me. At Christ Church, I have found healing from brokenness in my life. Christ Church is a place I feel safe again." God is working, and it's amazing to see it happening in our lives together at Christ Church. And I also want to, in the midst of that transition, in the midst of all those new people getting joined in and connecting, which of course changes the face of the congregation in really exciting ways, I also want to publicly commend and thank those here who have gone through this transition over the past couple of years. I know that things changed a lot in a short period of time. My goodness. And people have been faithful and consistent and positive through it and stayed committed. And I just want to thank you. I also want to specifically commend and thank families specifically with youth and young children, areas that got hit very hard in the midst of transition. And these families that have stayed committed and stayed present and leaned in the midst of hard seasons, I just want to say thank you. And I've said this personally, but I also want to say it publicly. Thank you for doing that. That's not been easy. It takes significant maturity and godly commitment to lean in while it's so natural to take steps back instead. It takes significant commitment to Christ Church and to Christ himself, the Lord of the church, to stay leaning in for the good of the congregation, even when you're not 100% sure what's going to happen. And I know that there are people who have said, in this congregation, who have said, "I know that some of my close friends have moved away." We had about 40 people move in 6 months from this congregation. It's just reality. People moved. People saying, "I know that I've had close friends of mine move away. I know a handful of others are pulling back as a result, but I'm going to lean in and commit even more." And that has been an absolutely huge blessing to the congregation as a whole. The way those with children have leaned in and stayed committed, even though not everybody was willing to do so. It's hard to stay committed when you're not sure of situations for your kids. It's amazing what we'll put up with, but it's hard with our kids. And so I really, really want to thank and commend the people that were willing to go through that with us here, even though it was uncertain. And I really, really appreciate that. And this whole congregation should acknowledge and respect the sacrifice that families in those categories made to help rebuild some very, very important ministries here. Shifting gears, I want to say some more about some exciting stuff we've got, we've seen this past year. Thrive, the assisted living facility just up the road, is one of our, what we call our target neighborhoods, areas that we specifically sense that God's called us to reach and minister to. This year we began a ministry there with twice monthly. There you go, Natalie, I just increased your workload right there. Twice monthly worship services at Thrive down the street. This is almost completely lay-led. I show up and do communion, but I don't run it, and I don't preach. I probably will at some point, but I haven't yet. And this is just this wonderful, wonderful ministry at that place down the street. We have fantastic teams of volunteers who are taking ownership of the ministry and stepped out in faith and mission to these residents and staff at Thrive. There's excitement within the people that are going out, ministering in Jesus' name, and seeing fruit in the lives of these neighbors. We've had the opportunity to share the gospel with many, encourage those who need it, and provide a worship service for many who simply can't go to church. And we're even in the process of communicating with one woman there who to prepare her for baptism. This is real gospel ministry taking place, and that's a church I'm excited to be a part of. Another thing I want to tell you about is, as always, I do this every time I have this group together, because this is a topic I can't talk about on Sunday mornings because all the guests are there. So you get to hear it here. Connect cards and first-time guests. Those things that I hold up every single week and ask you again and again and again to fill out. This is just one piece of our strategy of connecting guests to the life of this church. And let me just tell you, oh my goodness, is it working? As I said, I tell you this each time. You fill out a connect card so that the guest will. If you don't check the box that there's a change in your information, or you didn't write a prayer request or something on the back, we look at your name and throw it away. I mean, if I were in your shoes, I'd probably just make stuff up just to entertain myself. But I'm telling you, I'm being very honest with you, we're not after your information. This is a chance for us to connect with the guest who's sitting next to you, who's willing to fill it out because you are, because you take that extra 30 seconds every single time for the gazillionth time. And so it's working. Each week, we have a chance to follow up with anybody who gives us their information. We don't add people to a list, but we do follow up. We have some volunteers that come in and do that promptly on Monday mornings to get them some contact, to contact them and follow up. I also write a handwritten note to everybody that week as a chance so they get a contact from the pastor. But I also want to tell you a story. Just this month, we had somebody come in and who really enjoyed being here and filled out a connect card, and we got it on Monday morning and realized the person who was handling the connect cards couldn't read the email address, so she called them. And she actually called back later, so I got to talk to her. But she was just so excited about Christ Church, and, oh my goodness, please send me the information. We'll be back next time. I'm bringing my family. I'm going to be gone for a week, but trust me, I'll be back the next time, and I'm bringing my whole family. And we only had the ability to follow up and do that because you filled out that silly connect card for the gazillionth time. All right. Speaking of new guests, I've been talking, again, I just want to put in perspective some of what we're going through here. I've been talking with some people who know a lot about these kinds of things, people outside this congregation but have been doing this for a while and know things about these things, about guests and connecting them and numerical growth as a church, just people that know about such things. And here's one thing that they've said that has been very, very helpful for me and very encouraging of Christ Church. They say that at a church our size that is prepared for significant numerical growth. There's a lot more to church ministry than numerical growth. We'll make that very, very clear. It's about worship and discipleship. That's what we're about. That's what we're going to focus on. But certainly, reaching more people is part of our goal and mission. Of course it is. And one of the things that they've said is for a church our size to be prepared for and experience significant numerical growth, you need to see about 5 first-time guests every Sunday. That's a lot. Now, it's 5 bodies, not 5 families. So a family of 5 would be 5. But that's a lot, isn't it? We have not kept track of every single individual first-time guest throughout the year. That's actually very challenging to do because not everybody turns in a Connect card and those sorts of things. But just this past week, we had 8. And that's normal. I mean, that's very, very normal for us. And so, and sure enough, now we've seen a lot of transition over this past year, but I mean, we're talking 46 or even 50, because not everybody was there that week, new people who are coming consistently in this congregation just in the last 10 months. So it's really exciting. We are seeing this happen. And I just remind you again, you want to know the reason for that? Why all these people are coming, why there were 8 visitors last time, and why there were probably 8 the week before and 8 the week before that. Every single one of our visitors this past week came as a direct result of a personal and meaningful invitation of someone in this room. That's why they come. Yes, people find us online through our significantly improved website. Yes, people find us through Facebook advertisements and posts, which we have increased and improved significantly. But without a doubt, the overwhelming majority of guests who come do so because someone personally invited them. And they stay because people personally connect with them and welcome them, and because they encounter Jesus and feel that they will grow here. We're in a good place. We're on a good trajectory, and it's exciting to be a part of it. So with that, I'm going to turn things over to Paul, then we'll hear from the staff, and I'll come back and share some more. So Paul Schultz, our treasurer.
I wasn't sure. I told Michael earlier, and I'm not sure whether Michael told me I had 5 minutes or 50 minutes. I don't remember, but he said we'll be out of here by 8. I was going to come with a stack of reports this high, set them here on this table, and tell you, let's look at page 1, but we won't do that. Anyhow, it's interesting, when I plan a presentation, the first thing I think about is, how am I going to say hello? And so I thought, tonight, should I be formal and say, ladies and gentlemen, or should I use the traditional Southern, hi, y'all? And decided that since neither of those fit me, I'll just simply say hello, and I'm really glad to see you all here tonight. For those of you who are new, as Michael has said, my name is Paul Schultz. I'm the treasurer of Christ Church, and I called Michael earlier this afternoon, and I said, Michael, how long have I been treasurer? And he looked it up for me, and I am 4 days shy of my 1-year anniversary. So I don't know whether there's a contract extension in my history or not, but we'll look at it. Last time I got to speak with you folks was at our last vision night, which was in February of this year. And as you see, we've changed our schedule a bit, and we're now doing it in the late fall rather than in the January or February timeframe. But at that time, I talked about a financial report that described 24 months ago when we were really in a very weak financial position. We were spending more money than we were bringing in. We were continuing on that slope, and things were not really good. But it was amazing to see God step in and do miracles. In my last presentation, I talked about, well, now we should hear the trumpet sounding because this is what has happened. And what is really encouraging is that that excitement, that blessing from God has continued. Our financial position continues to be strong. We finished our fiscal year last year in a really good place, and it's continuing. Out on the table, as you came in, whether you saw them or not, there's a financial report that covers in some detail our entire financial picture for our last fiscal year. And folks say, well, what's a fiscal year? A fiscal year is actually our budget year. When it begins is July 1st and ends June 30th of a given time period. So the report that I'm going to talk about first tonight details our last fiscal year. And at any rate, where I was going, where there are reports out on the table, some of you I see have picked them up, some of you have not. That's fine. You don't need them for this presentation. But I encourage you, if you're interested, pick them up on your way out. Take them home, review them. And as I have noted at the bottom of the cover letter, if you have questions or comments, please contact me either tonight, at any time it's convenient for you. I'd be really happy to discuss any of the numbers, any of the processes that we have with you. So let's begin tonight looking at this slide. Now, I know there's some folks here tonight who are going to say, I don't want to look at all these numbers. And there are other folks who will say, I really want to look at more numbers. So the balance that we need tonight is to find some compromise, and I'll try to make it interesting and not put you to sleep. This is a really generalized summary of our last year's income and expenses. And the first numbers I want you to look at are the top lines, and you'll see it says total income. And you see that we received from all sources, that's contributions. We provide this facility for the YMCA. They pay as a rental fee. So there are other things other than contributions, but we received over $417,000 last year. The number to the right of that is what the finance team projected we would receive back in May and June of 2016. Finance team is myself, Sherry Strickland, Michael, and at the time, Brian Scully, and we sit down and do a budget. And we look at all sources, and we projected that we would get $401,000. Well, through God's grace, your generosity, your giving, we received $417,000. So that's almost $16,000 over what we projected. So that's the first number. Below that, you'll see expenses. And what is shown there, there are eight line items. That's the way we break our budget down into big chunks. Now, within each of those line items there are many, many sub-pieces. In the facilities and administrative expense line, I think I counted this afternoon, there's 25 or 30 different line items that make that up. But we're just going to talk about the major categories. And if you look at that list, you will see that in all cases, with the exception of one, we spent less than what we had budgeted to spend. The only difference being in worship, we spent $7,400 and we only had budgeted $5,800. So all in all, the finance team did a remarkable job in estimating what we thought we would spend, and the staff of the church did an excellent job in spending less than we had budgeted. So that bottom line shows that we spent $361,000, and we had budgeted to spend $390,000. What does that mean? That means we got more than we expected, we spent more, spent less than we expected, which ended up showing to us a surplus of over $44,000, which meant that our bank balance went up $44,000 in a year. Yeah, please applaud yourselves. It's a remarkable thing to see that happen. And one of the things that makes it even more so is within that budget year, as Michael has said, we lost a great number of committed giving folks. We lost, which we estimated, somewhere around $70,000 of committed giving. And we still ended up ahead as we did. So again, God's miracles, God's blessings, and your sacrificial giving. It's been an amazing journey to be on. One other thing, as I said, this is a small part of the report you have. There are other funds that we keep track of. We call them restricted funds. I'm not going to get involved in those tonight. Needless to say, our financial picture at the end of June was excellent. And in a little while, I'll tell you that our financial picture is still excellent. So if you have questions about last fiscal year, please ask me when you have a moment. There's one other piece that I want to explain to you, and it's on the back of the reports that you have if you've picked them up. For the first time in Christ Church's history, we had an independent financial review. We had the accountant from All Saints Church in Earls Inlet come. Pauley's Island? I was close. It's in the same area. Anyhow, Kathy McClellan came. She spent 4 or 5 days here with our bookkeeper. She looked at our processes, our controls, the way we do business, how accurate are we? And after doing all of that, she submitted a report to us indicating that she found no deficiencies. Our accounting was accurate and we were doing the things that we needed to do. She had some suggestions about how we might improve, and we're certainly looking at those. But the one thing that you need to know is that a financial review, or some folks will call it an audit, It just depends on who's doing it, whether we have an accountant do it or whether we have a certified public accountant through a firm do it. It becomes either a financial review or an audit. Same thing, it just costs us a whole lot less money to do a financial review. If any of you have noticed, it's actually a requirement in our bylaws to do that. And for how many years, it was never completed. This is the first, and I assure you that it's going to be an annual event and done every year to verify that we're doing the job that we need to do relative to our finances. Now, page two. And page two takes us to a even briefer summary of our current year, just to let you folks know where we are. We have actually finished one third of the year. We finished 4 months, July, August, September, and October. And in those 4 months, and I'll read these numbers to you, just listen to where they are. You don't have to memorize them. There won't be a test. We have received so far this year over $122,000. Now, if you extrapolate that out to the end of the year, means we should receive $366,000. And you'll notice that that's less than we received last year. And we're anticipating that, and we budgeted for that. And that makes up the fact that we've lost so many folks who were committed givers, and we've lost a large chunk of income. In that same 4 months, we have spent $114,000, which means that we are in the same position we were at the end of last year. We're receiving more money than we expected, and we're spending less money than we budgeted. So our financial position is secure. We're doing well. It's just, I can't tell you, Michael is excited about the growth, the contacts with people. I, as a financial guy, I'm excited to see these numbers stay where they're at and growing. It's just a really, really good time to be here, and I applaud you for your dedication to Christ Church. So thank you. Again, any questions, please come and see me.
Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Paul. One thing that I just want to make clear about our finances, I just want to be really clear. Our goal is not to amass cash. Our goal is to spend the money on exciting ministry. That's what we want to do. Last year, we were in a position where we had to save some money, and we were incredibly blessed to do that. So we don't have to save that much this year. We don't have to do that, which is great. So we can spend the money on exciting ministry, and we can, that's what we want to do. That's why we're entrusted with this money, not to have a big bank balance. But a lot of what we do costs money, and so we need to have enough in the bank to handle the ups and downs that always come throughout the year. And we're there, and now we're excited to be able to not have to think quite that way and be able to really go forward and use the money that we've been entrusted with in exciting ways. Joshua. Joshua is our worship arts director and youth pastor, has been here since April. Come on up.
Good evening, everyone. I'm not an accountant, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. 1 year ago, I stood in 3 feet of snow trying to sell reclining sofas to people. And now I am here with you, and I'm so glad that I don't have to sell anything to any of you. And I'm really amazed at God's journey that he has me on and my family. In February, I did a search online for worship ministry opportunities in South Carolina. Did a search in South Carolina because Julia's family lives in the area. And so I discovered Christ Church in February and applied in March and was interviewed and hired in April and moved in May, and my wife joined me in June. So yeah, it's been one of those years. And the transition has been truly remarkable. We are blessed to be here. I am blessed to be here. But it hasn't been easy. It's been challenging almost every day. And so we're grateful for the season that God has us in and what he's teaching us to walk by faith. And my responsibilities are for twofold. One is for junior and senior high, and one is for worship arts. And so my background and my training and all that God has done in my life over the past 18 years has been revolving around worship arts. And I feel that that's been a tremendous blessing as I've come here to Christ Church to be involved with so many great musicians and so many such a great atmosphere of worship every Sunday. And so I want you to know the purpose of why we have drums and guitars and music and singing and screens and lyrics. All of it has this one main thrust. It is to experience God's presence and express wholehearted worship to him. And so I am privileged to be a part of that. You know, if we're not experiencing his presence, then we're just doing this all in the flesh, and we are just spinning our wheels. And if we don't express wholehearted worship to him, then we're not accomplishing why we were created in the first place, to worship and glorify him. So we get, through music and worship arts, we get to accomplish the very reason why we come together every Sunday. So I want to encourage you, when you come on a Sunday, you may have had a hard week or a good week, but then we come together and that's the time where we set everything aside and we focus on Jesus. So the beautiful thing about that is it is deeply individual and uniquely corporate, right? It's both at the same time. And so I want to encourage you, engage with the heart of God every Sunday and allow the emotions in your heart to connect with what God is doing in you. This is a safe place to take a posture of worship that would be yielding to him. And so I want to encourage you to participate every Sunday wholeheartedly. As you express wholehearted worship, the people around you will say, I want to know that God. I want to know that God. Don't worry about the person to the right or left of you. It's just you and Jesus. And yet, it's all of us. I love that. So I am happy to announce that we have had two new worship team members added in the time that I've been here. Sylvia Plyler has joined us on piano and vocals, and she's a choral instructor at Waccamaw High School. And then Lori Dalton, who you've seen on hammer dulcimer and French horn and about 1,000 other instruments. And she is a music teacher in Georgetown County. And it's really, really special to have these two ladies involved. And also, I am in the process of developing a worship arts leadership team, which will help me in the interview and audition process in the future and development of the ministry here. So that's underway. And let's see here. The worship arts is one part of the responsibilities that I have here, and then also the youth, and so junior and senior high. We are blessed to have some really neat students here in this church. And so one thing that is very intriguing to me is now that they were talking about the transition that's happened over the past year and a half, 2 years. On a consistent basis, the students that are attending, there's very few that are here that were here before. Almost everyone in the youth group is new. So that's quite an interesting change. This past summer, we went to camp, and one of the students gave his heart to Christ. And then just last month, we had two students who were brand new. We invited them to come, and both those boys gave their heart to Jesus. So three salvations. The goal of why we get together is for discipleship and to help the kids be rooted in their faith so that when they are back in school and when they graduate, they can be rooted deep enough that they'll bend but not break, and they won't give in to the temptations of the society and the culture that they live in. That is impossible to do without the work of the Holy Spirit. And so I invite you to please be in prayer for these students. One of the things that we might be launching someday here in the next year, we may be launching a Pray For Me campaign where our students will go and find three people in three different generations above them and ask them to commit to pray for them for 1 year. So if someone comes to you and asks you to pray for them, you'll know. But we haven't launched that yet. It's just something that I'm considering. A way that you can be involved. We're having a hard time with getting the kids to come in the evening, so I've been shifting to youth group right at noon. So that means we have the opportunity to eat together. And so there's a website called takethemameal.com, and I want to invite you to sign up for a Sunday, for a weekend, where you can come and provide a meal for the students and the adult sponsors. And it's usually about 12 to 15 people or so. So would you be willing to do that? Would you be willing to provide a meal for these kids? And we can go on a rotation basis, and we can use the website to see who's signed up when and what they're bringing and things like that. So be watching for an email that's from takethemameal.com, and you'll know that's from us, and that's how we're going to help the kids. Last thing before I go, I wanted you to know that I've been being involved in a couple of different community ministries to connect with kids. One of them is called Coastal School Ministries. Did you know that in our public school, a student can take for credit a Bible class? Did you know that? That happens because of something called release time. Release time. It's just like when you might have gone to VOTEC, or you might have gone away to shop class, right? If the parent signs a permission slip and it's done off campus and it's taught by a certified teacher, the student can take a Bible class and have credit for it in school. That is remarkable. So if you have anyone that's connected or associated with Coastal School Ministries, please support them. They need all of the help and support that we can give them so we can give our public school students Bible education. That blows my mind. Yes. Waiting list, that's right, because there's not enough money for buses and teachers. So I've been involved helping out with them and encouraging them. Also, on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I go to St. James Middle School right down the road here, where they have a 7:30 a.m. Fellowship of Christian Athletes student-led devotion before school starts, Bible study. And Thursday, Rise and Shine, which is 7:30, where youth pastors come, and I get out my guitar, and I lead singing with the kids, and we study God's Word right there at St. James Middle School. It's pretty cool. So, all right, so thank you for your prayers, your love and support. I appreciate it so much.
Thanks, Joshua. Julia, Director of Children's Ministry.
Good evening. My name is Julia Roop, and I am the wife of Joshua. And what a blessing to be able to serve together. We served together up in Michigan, and when that season came to an end, I really did not believe that God would give us that opportunity again. I really thought that was something that I was laying down and was going to die, and for God to resurrect that here at Christ Church has been amazing. And so I want to thank you for believing in us and giving us the opportunity to serve here. So God is continuing to do amazing things in the children's ministry as well. And when I came, one of the things I've seen is that the elementary grade level was actually trickling down. There was a week where my son was the only student there. And since that time, we now average between 10 and 12 students in the elementary class on a Sunday. And often there's two or three visitors in that age group. We are getting about 5 to 7 kids in our preschool class and 2 to 4 kids in our nursery. So every week is different. We never know what we're going to have, who we're going to have, what to expect, but it's exciting. And so we have 3 rooms right now. We have the nursery. And we have the pre-K, which is 3-year-olds through 5-year-olds. And then we have the elementary grades, which I'm hoping soon we'll be able to split, because kindergarten through 5th grade is a pretty big age group. But they do really well. And, you know, the makeup of the children that we have coming is a lot different than what I've experienced in the past in children's ministry. I have been a part of a large church, and most of the children that came were very churched, and so they were very well behaved. They knew the answer was Jesus, right? I asked you what you were having for lunch, Jesus. And this is completely different. The kids that we have coming to our ministry often don't have a churched background. We have several foster kids, which are awesome. We have a few who are church, but they're going through their own transition. My son's going through a major transition in moving here. And the Cutnall's children are going through transition in allowing foster kids into their families. And then we have some neighbors who have been coming who have no background in church whatsoever, so have no understanding of the Bible and Jesus and God and what he came to do. So it's a really, I like how Michael, you used gospel-centered ministry. It is very gospel-centered. And one of the things I realized right away in the elementary grades specifically is that we need to make sure that the gospel is a part of every Sunday, because we never know if those children are going to be back. And we also don't know if they've heard the gospel or understood the gospel. So we've been looking as a team, as some of the leaders in elementary, at our curriculum and making sure that the gospel is a part of what is presented on a weekly basis to the best of our ability. And so in that, we've kind of taken a step back and we've decided that we also want our curriculum to tell God's big story. Because one of the things I realized when I went from high school into college, I went to a Bible college. It was a one-year Bible college. And I didn't go to Christian school, I went to public school, but I grew up in the church. And I went to that Bible college, and for the first time, I realized that the whole book was one story. It was God's story. I didn't know that. And I remember when I was called to children's ministry, I said, I don't want that to happen to someone else. I don't want them to get through children's ministry and not realize that this was a complete story of God's story. So we have a big timeline in our wall back there, and it begins with creation, and it ends with Jesus coming, and it even says his future with us, and so we know his story is eternal, right? And we get to point out that we're all part of God's story, and so I love that we're focusing on them seeing how God is interweaving that he has promised a redeemer from Genesis, and that Christ was that redeemer, and that Christ is our king. And so I love that we are tying all of that into that. I want to thank this church for the outstanding volunteers in children's ministry, because if I look at the statistics and the numbers that I have here compared to the number of volunteers in proportion to the number of attenders, and I look at my church of 1,000 and the number of volunteers I had, this church greatly surpasses in service what I was experiencing up north. And I just thank you. I'm so blessed by that. I'm so blessed by your faithfulness, your willingness to step in and serve. So thank you. We still could use more. Like I said, I'm hoping the elementary program will split, and so we can always use more help in children's ministry. I like that we rotate our workers. I don't want someone to feel like they've signed up for a lifetime commitment. I don't want them to feel like they're missing out on worshiping. I think we all need to be in corporate worship, and so it's important to me that we rotate. And so we can do that because there's so many volunteers, but we definitely, I probably need one more per grade level. So if that's something that tugs at your heart, please speak with me, and I would love to fit you in where it might be a good fit for you. So what is our goal? I sat down with Michael a few months ago because we really only have the kids for 30 to 45 minutes on a Sunday. And I said, what do we want this to look like? Do we want it to look like a mini worship service? Do we want it to look like Sunday school? What do we want this to look like? And he just really helped me think through that we want the children, what's our goal for them? We want them to be lifelong followers of Jesus Christ. We want them, when they leave the elementary program, to have connections that they naturally move into the adult service, the adult worship service. So we want to build connections back in children's ministry so that when they come into the service, they say, oh, I recognize that. Whether that's a song we sing in the back, and then when they come in, Joshua's singing the same song, and they go, oh, I know this, I can sing this. They're participating, whether it's teaching them the Lord's Prayer, so that when they hear that said, they say, I know that. Or maybe the Nicene Creed, what it means. So we're looking for connection points, and then we're looking for connection points in the broad picture of what it means to be a follower of Christ in the church globally. And then that might be that we're looking at the church calendar, and we're celebrating things like Advent and Lent and All Saints Day, and connecting them to the church as a whole. And so those are some of the things that we are trying to do. We have seen 3 children accept the Lord this year in Christ Church Children's Ministry, and that has been so exciting. So we have given out, I think the last time I spoke with you this summer, I was able to share that we had given out about 13 Bibles, and we've given out 10 more since then to children who do not have their own copy of the Word of God. And so I've gotten phone numbers from parents, and I'm able to follow up with those people that have gotten a Bible, and so it's really exciting. God is doing some amazing things. I am so thankful. One of the things that excites me the most happens not on a Sunday morning. You may know Carol Schumacher. She is here in our congregation, and she is the director of the YMCA program after school. And they meet in our building from about 3 to 6, Monday through Friday, and I have the opportunity once a week to come in for about an hour and play a game with the kids, teach them a Bible lesson, pray with them, and teach them the gospel. And that has been so exciting because they are just hungry. And there's a lot of them who have never heard the word of God. And so what an awesome opportunity. And I think God just showed me that when I first got here, that they're the ones in our doors already. And so we're starting just to minister to them and, you know, pray that their families would be open to stepping through the doors on a Sunday, because they come from such hurting places, hurting homes. And so they need the love of Jesus. So if you'll pray for them, that would be awesome. And I want to end with just sharing my personal calling, how I felt the Lord call me was through Psalm 78. It says that we will teach the next generation, the praiseworthy deeds of the Lord, his power and the wonders he has done, so that they would put their trust in God and would not forget his deeds, but would keep his commands. Thank you.
Thanks, Julia. I just want to tell before we move on, I just think the world of these two that have joined the staff this year. I just think the world of both of them. The maturity and wisdom and skill and godliness that they bring to the team is just tremendous, and I am just thrilled to have this new team. I'm really, really excited, so thank you guys. And I also want to say, I've got skin in this game. I've got kids in these ministries, you know, and I'm thrilled that these are the people that are pouring into my kids' lives. I'm excited that my son is growing up and learning what it means to be a Christian and a follower of Jesus here. My daughter, who was adopted this summer, has never heard about Jesus before coming here. And she's learning about Jesus here and at home. And we are just so thrilled to have these people pouring into my family's life as well. All right, if you would, stand up. Wait till everybody stands up. Bernie, you're going to love me. All right, that's good. You can sit back down. No, seriously, you can sit back down. This has gone slightly longer than I expected up to this point, so I'm going to breeze through a few things, but we're not quite done. So the way we do this here for leadership team selection is I was corrected the first time I did this. I used the wrong term, so I will use the correct one now. I'm supposed to invite the most senior person in the room to come and help me, and I will not make eye contact lest I am wrong. But as that person, whoever that person happens to be, would come forward, I am going to read the four names of the people to be selected. Three of them will be drawn randomly out of this bag, but I'm going to read the names as I fold them up and put them in. But three names will be selected. There are actually four openings on the team, but the leadership team selected to only fill three because one of them is only for 1 year. And so we said, no need for that. The bishop actually encouraged us to have a smaller team. We said, the leadership team came to me suggesting, no need for that. Let's just refill that slot next year when the person selected would serve a full term instead of just a partial term. So we'll have three names selected, but I'm going to read the names. Mike Gernitz, fold it up there. Anthony Capitelli, fold it up there. Jennifer Carotti, fold it. And Natalie O'Reilly. I'm folding all of those and dropping them in the nice Rwandan bag. Can I make eye contact with you now? You were last time.
There's got to be somebody older than me.
Oh, wrong side. Just one. First name is Natalie O'Reilly. Second name is Jennifer Carotti. last name, Mike Gernix. All right. Well, thank you all for being willing to serve if selected. So thank you all. The three of you just called will start your terms in January. You're now welcome to come to leadership team effective immediately if you want. We're meeting Thursday, but your terms will actually start the beginning of the new year. All right. Just a little bit about where we're headed. It would be silly to have vision night and not talk about the future. Actually, if you could go back, we're not quite there yet, Joshua. The leadership team has been doing a lot of really good, significant work on identifying what God is calling us to do and what he's calling us to be as a church. We've already talked tonight some about numerical growth, and that's exciting to be a part of a growing church, but also how do we got to be a part of this as well. And the first thing that I just want to answer, if you're new, you probably won't fully know what I'm talking about. That's fine. If you've been here for a little while, I do want to just address some of the structure, the basic ministry structure that we've used here and how some of that has changed. In the past, I don't mean this critically or negatively, I'm just saying it, but in the past, this church has sort of tried to put all its eggs in one basket. We called them community life groups. And the desire was to be simple. You know, we're not doing 1,000 different things. It's simple by combining just about every goal that we have as a church into this one thing. And so it was very simple because in many ways, the answer to every question was this program. How do we get to know people? Do this program. How do I grow as a Christian? Do this program. How does the church do evangelism? Through this program, etc. And what we found is that over time, this approach became rather overwhelming, especially on leaders, and it turned out to not be sustainable without the sort of staff infrastructure behind really pushing to make everything continue to happen. No hard feelings, no criticism, just not sustainable, and certainly not in our current situation. As I said, it was simple because it was one answer to every question, but it also became very complicated because almost everything we did was through these groups, and it would actually became very, very challenging to raise up committed leaders who would take charge of all of those things within their group of people. So we believe that we can continue the same goals and values and desires. That hasn't changed and isn't changing, but we do believe that we can improve a bit on who we are now and how we go about some of those things. And the language that I've been using is we're sort of trying to simplify by broadening, and I know that's a contradiction, but simplifying by broadening a little bit. And what I mean by that is by broadening just a little bit of what we do as a church, we can greatly simplify the burden of any one ministry. And so if you were a leader of that, you're really responsible for just about everything the church is supposed to be for your group. And that turned out to be very, very challenging for many and most within the congregation. So we are committed to the same basic goals. We believe that we can improve a bit based on who we are now and what we have on how we can reach some of those goals. So for example, community. Community together is a very high value of this church, as it should be, as it will remain. But we believe that we can foster deep and meaningful community together through more than just one way. Instead of sort of a one-size-fits-all approach to community, which really doesn't work for everybody, we desire to create profound, deep community in a focused but variety of ways to do that. Community life groups, absolutely, but also short-term small groups, which we've had some success with already, both in men's ministry, women's ministry, and the prayer ministry did one this past year as well. Classes, chance for everybody to come together and hear teaching together, ongoing ministry opportunities like the way people serve together on small teams at Thrive and get to know and partner with the people that they serve with, We greatly value small groups, and we believe that as we broaden slightly the ministry of Christ Church, we can avoid what can sometimes be sort of a one-size-fits-all approach, which we've also discovered didn't always work for people, and they weren't able to engage in the ministry because they just weren't able to engage in that specific way. And if we broaden a little bit, we'll actually be able to involve and incorporate people who have different sorts of schedules. I also want to then specifically invite you, if you've been interested in being a part of a small group or even interested in leading one, but you haven't been up for the sorts of responsibilities in the past, I want to encourage you to think about that and pray about that and talk with me about those opportunities. All right. Now as we move forward, I want to introduce you to the idea, sort of big picture idea, of our plan for discipleship. And Joshua, we can go to the first slide. We've been talking about this growing as mature followers of Jesus and reaching the world for Jesus with the love of Jesus. This is what we need to do. Our purpose as Christ Church is to connect people to Jesus Christ, to one another, and to God's work in the world. This is why we were founded. This is what we believe we are still called to do. And we're going to pursue this purpose of reaching the lost and growing as followers of Jesus by focusing on what the leadership team, what we're calling our three directions. As a church, we're going to focus on making sure that everything we do keeps us moving forward in these three directions all the time. And so the first direction is up. Joshua, this is the first one. The first direction is up. We move continually up, as we've already heard from Joshua, up in wholehearted worship of Jesus. We believe that worship is certainly something we do on Sunday mornings, but it is also much more than that. We believe that it's also a life lived in worship response to Jesus. And we believe that our primary direction is to move up in worship of Jesus, in a life lived in response to him. So the first direction that we're committed to constantly moving as Christ Church is up to him in worship. And the second is we commit to moving out. We commit to moving out. We exist primarily to worship Jesus and for the sake of others. Moving out in mission and ministry. We are committed to lovingly and intentionally engaging the local community with the gospel. We've already shared I think that was 5 or 6 of the people that we know have turned their life over to Christ and committed to him. But that doesn't even include the 4 or 5 adults that I know of this year. Committed to reaching out with the love of Jesus into the local communities. We're committed to equipping our congregation to share the truth of Jesus and the love of Jesus with the community. And we're committed to providing programs and opportunities as entry points for people who are far from Christ to come into the church and encounter him and meet with him, even if that's not Sunday morning yet. We've been focusing this whole year. We didn't quite have this language, but we've been focusing this year, and we're going to continue to focus the rest of this year on this out direction. And we have some exciting things coming up this fall, kicking off this coming Sunday with something we're calling Freedom Sunday. And we're going to have the opportunity for the rest of the year to hear ways that we can really be going out and partnering with some pretty exciting and incredible work that God is doing in the world. So come Sunday, but you'll also be hearing about this and have chances to partner at this for the rest of this calendar year. So we're committed to moving out. And then the third might not necessarily be the direction you're thinking. But the next one, what we're calling is, the third one is we commit to moving onward. And what we mean by that is we move onward in this relentless pursuit of Christ-likeness. All of us always have a next step in our journey with Jesus. And what we want to do is we want to help each of us take that next step, and that next step in this relentless pursuit of following Jesus and being transformed into his image. We've already seen steps in that taking place in men's groups, the men's group in women's ministry, as we as people come together to take seriously our call to grow as mature followers of Jesus. We commit together to prayer and Bible study. We commit to this ongoing, continual growth in Christlikeness, in holiness. And so this coming year, starting in January, we're going to focus on the up direction. The leadership here has completely agreed that we sense that that's the specific direction that we're called to move this coming year. Especially when you hear about the tremendous number of new believers who are learning for the first time what it is to worship Jesus. You think of Julia's point about how many children are from non-churched families, but if they're from non-churched families, they're coming in with non-churched families. And the sense that God has been calling us and directing us to focus up on lives of worship, of wholehearted worship towards Him. And the need to focus and direct our hearts and ordering our lives around bringing praise to Jesus in worship. And so the leadership has clearly identified a sense of calling that this is the one we're supposed to focus on for the coming year. Now, of course, we're always going to move in all three directions. We're not going to say, I'm sorry, we don't care about growth this year. We're just, you know, we're not going to become more like Jesus. We're just going to go out. It doesn't work that way. We're always going to focus on all three. But we have a sense that in different seasons, God's going to lead us to focus and build things around one of the three at a time. So that's a bit of where we're going in the coming year. And we will have things like sermon series and teaching series and small groups and worship nights and variety of different ways to get at this and build in us and in our children and in others who are not in this room right now lives and hearts of worship towards Jesus. So as we come to a close, would you stand? And I really mean it this time. Close your eyes. Imagine with me God stirring up the people of Prince Creek with His Holy Spirit. Imagine children meeting Jesus. Imagine whole families deepening their relationship together as they all turn together to Jesus. Picture in your mind Christ Church partnering with the leadership in Lynxbrook and Collins Creek and the Bays and Thrive to join with people in our community where they are, serving together and showing them what a devoted follower of Jesus looks like. Imagine with me this room filled with passionate worshipers who carry the flame of love and devotion to Jesus out with them into the community. Imagine with me a church that is absolutely committed to making sure that no corner of this community remains untouched by Jesus' love. Imagine a church that when we gather in worship, Jesus looks on us and smiles. Smiles as He enjoys the praises of His people. Friends, that's where we're called. That's where we're heading, and we believe that we've seen the fruit of that already. This is an exciting place to be right now. I love hearing the stories and ideas of what God's doing and what we could do to be a part of it. So I invite all of us to be creative, to pray and ask God to do what only He can do, to join with the mission of Christ Church in this community, to jump in with both feet as we join with Jesus in connecting people to Jesus Christ, to one another, and to God's work in the world, and as we continually move up and out and onward. So pray with me our commissioning prayer that we use each week at Christ Church, slightly edited to add our three directions at the end. So we'll close with this. Almighty and loving Father, empower us with Your Holy Spirit that we may be Your hands and feet, connecting people to Jesus Christ, to one another, and to God's work in the world. Lead us up in wholehearted worship, out in loving mission, and onward in continual growth in Christ likeness. Alleluia, alleluia. Let us go forth into the world rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit.